Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Acts 26, verses 28 and 29. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all them that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Dear listening friend, there's a vast difference between almost and altogether. For instance, I can recall many years ago when I was in high school and when our little country football team played against a team that was the year before had been the contender for the state championship. Why, even to score against an opponent like that would have been a major accomplishment for a team like our team. We played so hard, and we moved the ball within 7 yards of the goal with 4 downs to cross it. But when the 4th down had been run, we were still just about as close as one could get, but still not be over the line. We almost made it, but not altogether. When I was living in South Bend, Indiana, I recall a fire in the neighboring Chicago at a school building. One small boy was at the window on the 2nd floor, and his father was calling for him to jump, and he would catch him, and he would be saved. But the small boy was too frightened to move and was later identified among the dead. How sad. Overcome with smoke. He was almost rescued, but not altogether. Across the road from where I was reared was a family of children whose father had drowned some years earlier. He was fishing and allowed his boat to drift too close to the perilous waters around a lock in the river. The boat overturned, and he attempted to swim to the bank. He was reportedly within 10 yards of the bank when his weary body cramped, and he went under. He almost reached safety, but not altogether. Now I cite those things to simply show, and all of us recognize, there's a vast difference between almost and altogether. As the song teaches, almost is but to fail, almost but lost. Some people of whom we read in the Bible were almost Christians, and some were altogether Christians. It's the same way today. Felix said, Go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. But that season never came, and he was banished from his position, and as far as we know, he died out of Christ. Agrippa was the one who said, With but little persuasion thou wouldst fain make me a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But he left the courtroom where he had heard Paul preach, just as lost as he was when he entered that room. In Athens, the Apostle Paul preached, Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee concerning this yet again, Acts 17:32. But if Paul was successful in planting the cause of Christ in that city, of those self-sufficient sophisticates, as he had been successful elsewhere, we do not read of it. Now in contrast, we read of the people on Pentecost, and of the Samaritans, the Ethiopian, Cornelius, Saul of Tarsus, Lydia, the Philippian jailer, the Corinthians. They were not just almost, but they were altogether converted to Christ. And what is it to be almost a Christian? It simply means that one is close to becoming a child of God, but is not yet born into his family. One may have the knowledge of what to do to be saved, what to do to become a Christian, but has not acted on that knowledge. Certainly we must know the truth to be freed by the truth, John 8 and verse 32. But one can know what is right, and still not do what is right. And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, James 4 and verse 17. On the day of Pentecost, there were many others besides those 3,000 who obeyed that heard the same message and the same instructions, but they did not obey like the 3,000 did. Some today, possibly even some who hear these words, may know what to do to be saved. But until it is done, they remain nothing better than almost a Christian, but not altogether. Recently, a young man expressed to me with tones of regret that he knew as well as anyone what was required to be a Christian, but he was not yet willing to give up certain habits in his life that a Christian cannot practice. He is almost, but not altogether, saved. As Jesus said, Matthew 22:14, many are called, and few are chosen. Now, having a desire to become a Christian is just almost. It's not altogether. Agrippa believed the preaching of Paul. Before the Jews became Christians on Pentecost, they expressed their desire to be followers of Christ by their question, "What must we do?" They cared that much to want to be a Christian. The Ethiopian had the desire to be baptized before he was baptized. Many see the advantages of coming to Christ, but until they actually do that which is commanded, they are merely almost, but not altogether, saved. Some, although they do not become Christians, will even make drastic changes in their way of living, and for the better. But just reforming our behavior is not sufficient. Reformation of life must indeed follow becoming a Christian. This change of lifestyle will result from a change of heart and relationship to Christ. Repentance is absolutely necessary in becoming a Christian. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." This is the change of mind or change of heart. Ephesians 4:22-24 shows the change of life that follows, "that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Yes, those who repent, but nothing more, can never become a true child of God. Those who genuinely repent will not continue to live in sin. But good moral living, as vital as it is to faithfulness in Christ, is not sufficient to make one a Christian or to save his soul. Friend, you nor I or anybody else can ever be good enough to be counted among the saved on the basis of our goodness. Salvation includes doing the will of the Lord, Matthew 7:21. And salvation is not by works of merit of which we can boast, Ephesians 2:8-9. It's not by works of our own righteousness, Titus 3:3-5, but the mercy of God. We must be good as a Christian, but we can be good in many respects and remain separated from the only Savior that there is. Certainly being good makes for a better life. It is surely beneficial also to those around you. But such is not God's plan for saving man. Many good moral people are not Christians. Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 was a good moral man before he was even taught the way of salvation through Christ. But he was lost. Peter was sent there to tell him words whereby he and his house could be saved. He was lost because he was not in Christ, and it is in Christ where all spiritual blessings are provided, Ephesians 1:3. Almost becoming a Christian is like making steps toward a door, even putting your hand on the knob, maybe even turning the knob, maybe even flinging the door open, but never going through the doorway. The almost saved are just as lost as ever. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, Romans 8:1. This is not true of those who remain out of Christ, even those who are almost in Christ. Let me tell you of the way to be altogether a Christian. And if it really does not take very long for me to tell you, if we'll confine ourselves to the Scriptures, a person must hear the gospel, because faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. And having heard, and this is the reason for preaching, one must believe in Christ as the Son of God. Jesus said in John 8:24, "Except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to be pleasing to him." But following that, one must repent of his sins, as noted before. The very first command the Apostle Peter gave to those who heard him preach on Pentecost, and indicated their faith by their question, "What must we do?" He said, "Repent." Acts 2:38, he taught them to repent. Paul taught those in Athens, "God commandeth all men everywhere to repent," Acts 17:30. And also one is to confess his faith in Christ as the Son of God. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Like the Ethiopian in Acts 8, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But one also must be baptized. For when he is baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:27. Peter continued his divinely given command in Acts 2:38. He said, repent and be baptized. And the reason was clearly expressed for the remission of sins. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3:21, baptism doth now also save us. And the reason that it does, friend, is that this action takes man to reach the blood of Christ that was shed in his death, Romans 6:3-4. We're baptized into his death, where his blood was shed. We're baptized into Christ. This is how one gets into Christ, and in Christ is where salvation is. 2 Timothy 2:10, and no man has a right to tell you that you are going to be in Christ short of doing the things that the Bible teaches you must do to get into Christ. Not until we have completed the process that God has specified can we properly make the claim that we are saved. No man has the right to set aside any teaching of the Lord and still claim he has the blessing anyway. But when we do as the Bible teaches, we are altogether saved, not just almost. But until we do that, we are at best only almost, not altogether. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now once in Christ, we are to live in a manner befitting a Christian. Friend, it's one thing to become a Christian, and it's a lifetime of service and work and worship to be a Christian. Tragic things happen in this life. An automobile almost got across the railroad track, but not altogether, and the occupants died. A child almost got out of the street before the car arrived, but not altogether. The miners almost got out of the mine before it collapsed. The airplane almost made it to the runway, but crashed within a few hundred yards. You know, when Russia crushed the freedom-hungry people of Hungary some years ago, many people fled their homeland into Austria. One woman told the story how she and her husband and their two children crossed a snowy field toward the border of deliverance. And as they approached the last barbed wire fence that was designed to prevent escape, her husband helped her and the children over it into safety. And as the husband started over, a rifle shot rang through the night. The husband yelled to his family to run as fast as they could toward the border. More shots. And the husband fell. Wounded, he struggled and crawled, but not very far until he fell dead. The wife and the children were altogether delivered. The husband was almost. What a sad and tragic event. Jesus once told a man in Matthew 10:21, one thing thou lackest. To another in Mark 12:34, he said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. It may be that way with you, dear listener. Please, will you not make it altogether, rather than just almost? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.